Okay, 1, 2, 3. Hi, this is Don Cassidy with Delicious Agony Progressive Rock Radio. I have on the phone with me David Manazian, keyboardist, vocalist, filmmaker, talented musician from California. David, how you doing today?
Real good, Don. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, doing very well. How's the weather out there? It's hot here. It's very, very hot in New York.
It's really nice out here.
Southern California. You guys got it made, man. It's so humid here. It's like you can't even walk outside the door.
No, it's a nice warm day, but not too warm.
All right. Well, Dave, the big news is the release of your new album, Random Acts of Beauty, on Prog Rock Records.
Yes.
Which has a very interesting guest spot on track one. But I guess for the listeners don't know, David, just tell us a little bit about the album that's coming out. What led you to decide to release this album? I know Andy Latimer was kind of someone who kind of encouraged you to do this, but just tell the listeners a little bit about the Random Acts of Beauty.
Yeah, well, I tried my hand at trying to get into the music business a while back in the 80s, and it didn't quite work out because of the nature of the record companies and their attitude towards progressive rock.
Right.
And I had a background in filmmaking as well, which was kind of, those were my two loves, music and filmmaking, and it was just a lot easier for me to go into filmmaking. And but I'd always been itching to kind of do an album, you know, and finally, you know, it just sort of came time. I had spoken with Andy a number of times about this, and he had said, "Dave, just do an album, just do it," because he knew I had a musical background as well as a film background.
Right.
And so I said, why not? So, I just decided to go ahead with it. My son, who is an incredible guitar player, he and I sort of teamed up, and we did this, and I think it was a great, fun to do, and I think it turned out pretty good.
Absolutely, it's a wonderful album. Very, very. I think fans of Camel. Not that this is, you know, Camel, but I think people of the symphonic, rock would really, really be into to Random Acts of Beauty. It's very symphonic, great, great guitar playing, keyboards too. Track number one, which has kind of obviously got a little bit of attention, is Andy Latimer appears on. Let's go backwards a little bit, David, because, you have a long-standing relationship with Andy. I think what people are so excited about is, number one, to hear Andy Latimer play again. Number one, it's been a while, obviously. I think most people know that Andy's had a lot of, some health problems, some pretty serious health problems the last few years. And to actually hear his guitar again is just so refreshing, on an album. But talk a little bit about your relationship with Andy and, what you've done with when it comes to, the DVDs and all that with Camel Productions, because you've been very involved with them for quite some time. And I didn't even realize that you were so involved in some of those great DVDs over the years.
Yeah, it's been an absolutely wonderful, wonderful experience working with them. I had been a fan of Camel prior to that.
Right.
I think like most people, I sort of thought that they had sort of folded back in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
After the Stationary Traveler album.
Right.
And I kind of lost track of them. Our paths kind of crossed in about 1996. And they had been, I didn't know that they had gotten back together and recorded this album, Dust and Dreams, and they had done a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And they had recorded someone had brought a video camera to one of their shows.
Right.
On the 1992 tour that they did, and did this sort of amateur recording of the tour, and the band played like really, really well that particular night.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy was really happy with that particular show, and they were kind of looking around to see if they could kind of salvage this amateur footage that had been shot of this particular concert at the, I think it was at the Town and Country that they did.
Okay.
And the performance was fantastic, but unfortunately the video and the audio quality wasn't very good, so
right.
There really wasn't much they could do. And our paths sort of crossed at that point, and I was thinking to myself, a band of Camel's caliber, what are they doing messing around with trying to
right.
salvage amateur footage? They
right,
should
right.
have, something professional done. And so I kind of offered my services to them. And we got to talking, and we decided, yeah, let's do a new concert video, and then also a documentary, and which ultimately became the Coming of Age DVD and the Curriculum Vitae documentary, both of which I produced and directed.
That's awesome, guys. I've been fans of obviously Coming of Age, but the Curriculum Vitae one for years. So that's so cool to know that you were the person kind of behind that with the directing and production. It's such a great DVD.
Yeah, I love about the Curriculum Vitae in particular because it was even though it sort of captures the magic that is Camel, and it's very emotional for a documentary.
Yes.
I think it's really cool. Plus all the old footage in there.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awesome. So, bringing us up to current times now, and this wonderful album, you know, when you were doing Random Acts of Beauty, obviously you asked, Andy must have liked what you were doing, and then you asked him to play on the first track, Masquerade?
That's right. You know, like I said, I'd spoken to him. I hadn't talked to him for quite a long time during the time that he was ill, and they had moved back to they were in California,
right,
you know, for a while, and they'd
right.
moved back to England,
right,
and he was, you know, going through his ordeal, and I finally did talk to him, and I'd kept sort of in touch with Susan Hoover via emails and stuff, but I hadn't really talked to him about anything. I did talk to Andy finally on the phone in January of 2009, and it was so refreshing to hear his voice, you know, I mean, after such a long time and after everything he'd been through.
Yeah, sure.
We were just talking about music, and he really encouraged me to do an album, you know, because I've been putting it off for years and years. And so I went ahead and got my studio set up, and the first track that I recorded was Masquerade,
right,
sort of a rough demo of that, and I sent it to him to kind of get his opinion on it. And that's when he very, very kindly offered to play on it. And then the whole thing sort of developed from there until a full-on album, and that's what and we just did finish it, and it's just come out now on Prog Rock Records.
Yeah, and it's and now the fans, now they go to progrockrecords.com. The album can be ordered earlier than the street date is October actually for the album, but if they go to Prog Rock Records, I think the listeners can get it right away. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Make sure I got that right. Great label, by the way. Very, very cool people at Prog Rock Records.
Yeah, they are. Excellent
great,
work.
Great people to hook up with. So, I mean, again, A Masquerade is the track that Andy Lanham is on, and once you hear one note, you know it's him.
Right.
He's got one of those, you know, distinctive, you know, sounds, you know, just guitar style, obviously, playing. That it's just so, I know when I listened to it, it was just so great to hear him again, you know, because I think a lot of people, you know, that have been following, and I've been following it on and off, some of his trials and tribulations when they updated on Camel Productions. It's been a rough couple of, you know, a few years for Andy, and it's so great to hear him just on album again, you know, and thank you for bringing that to the listeners, because I think a lot of people wondered if we'd ever hear him again, you know, doing his classic style of soloing, so that's pretty cool stuff.
And to me as well, the fact that to actually just hear him play again, and the fact that he would even take time out to do this, I was just over the moon about it.
Yeah, and how is it for, like, you know? Again, we'll get back to the album, but I mean, you know, for obviously you're a fan first. You liked Cam. You obviously followed Cam. You liked Camel. You know, you were into Camel, like a lot of people. You said that you kind of got lost on, but I think everybody did for a while, and then they came back. You know, I mean, how cool is it for you as a musician now? You know, years later, to be able to, here's my album, and look, here's this guy from Camel that I always love that's playing the guitar on it. I mean, it must be unbelievably gratifying for you.
Oh, it's a dream come true, really. I mean,
yeah.
I remember when we were shooting the Coming of Age concert, I was actually on stage with a camera.
Okay.
With one of the cameras. We had, I think, six cameras going out.
Yeah.
I was actually on stage, and I remember when the first notes of Lunar Sea started.
Oh, God, it's great.
I kind of, for a second there, I thought, wait a second, I'm on stage with Camel.
Right, right.
You know, I had to pinch myself, you know, for a second there, and then I got to click back into work mode.
Right.
Right after that, but, and there's been so many wonderful experiences, you know, getting to to sit in on the rehearsals.
That's awesome.
You know, because we taped the rehearsals for that particular and also we taped some rehearsals for the I was up there at their studio while they were recording A Nod and a Wink.
I love that album. That's a great album.
In fact, you know, Andy's one of those guys. You know, a lot of the prog stars of the 70s that have been around for a while, their new stuff, and I'm sure you can think of many groups, their new stuff just doesn't quite measure up to their old stuff.
Agreed.
You know?
Very, very much agreed.
And yet, Andy has been able to really, you know, he's such an incredible musician.
Right.
And he really puts everything into his songwriting and I think the new stuff is on the same level or even surpasses some of their older stuff.
No, I agree. I totally agree. You know, Not in a Wink is a fantastic album. Harbor of Tears is great. You know, any of those albums are great. You know, they really, truly are. As good as, you know, I like those albums as much as I like, you know, Moon Dances and, you know, some of the other albums.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's saying a lot, you know.
Well, for someone to be around as long as he's been and to continue to put out that level of quality music and still have that magical quality that makes all of us like Camel, I think is just amazing. Because there's, as we know, a lot of my other favorite bands have sort of fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, that is unbelievably cool. Yeah. One of the things that I was in listening to the album, and again, if you really want to learn more about the album than we're going to be able to do during this interview, probably go to David's website. DavidMinasian.com, and his last name is spelled Minasian, and he really gives a great description, really, of each song on the album. He goes track by track and really describes all the different songs on the album. And one of the things that interested me when I was, again, I was listening to it, and I saw that you referenced an album that I love, too, that I don't hear about a lot, is that the one song, Storming the Castle, which is a very neat track on the album, you said was influenced kind of by Rick Wakeman's Out There album. I don't hear a lot of people talk about that album a lot, and that's a really, really good album.
Oh, I love that album.
Yeah, a lot of people don't talk about that album as much, but I agree with you. I think that was a great album.
Yeah, Rick Wakeman's done a whole bunch of stuff, and a lot of it hasn't been very good, and a lot of it's just been incredible.
Yeah, he's hit or miss, man. It's either great or not good at all.
and that was one of the ones that was sort of more recent that was great.
Yeah, I agree.
And there was a couple songs on there that where they would just he would do a Moog solo followed by a guitar solo back to a Moog solo back to a guitar solo, and I just kind of like the idea of just doing the trade-off
right
of soloing, and that's kind of what we did with that song.
Right,
I was doing the Moog, and then my son was doing the lead guitar work, which he did a
yeah, talk about job. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your son Justin, you know, whose guitar playing is all over this album, and it is really, really good. I mean, here we go. Let's you could be a proud father now, I guess, for a minute. I mean, how cool is it? No, it's okay. The kid can play, man. You know, he's really, really good. How cool is it to have him all, you know, on the album, you know, handling the guitar parts? I mean, he's fantastic.
Well, but poor Justin, I really put him in a spot because, you know, the first song on the album, you've got Andy Latimer playing.
Right.
And
right, you set the bar pretty high.
Yeah.
On track one.
And Justin's got to come up, who's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
He's got to come up behind that and keep the level, you know, the same level. And I think he did a fantastic job, but I definitely put him on the spot by leading off with the Andy Latimer.
Yeah, you could have had Andy Latimer on track, like the last track, you know, after his playing went through the album, and then have Andy on the last track. But I think having Masquerade as track one is perfect, though. It's just, it's a perfect opening track. You know,
and I think Justin held his own. I think he did some amazing stuff on here. There was just what's incredible about Justin is his taste in music is far wider than mine is. You know, I'm stuck on symphonic prog. That's my niche.
Right.
But Justin not only listens to all the great bands, the prog bands, but he also listens to jazz and listens to grunge and metal and he incorporates. I mean, he can, if you listen to the album Random Acts of Beauty, any of his solos, you'll hear some of the most gorgeous leads, and then he'll go into a speed metal riff for a split second and then go back to this gorgeous lead.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It makes it so unique.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Very eclectic. I was going to ask you that, actually, since we were talking about him. So, you know, you don't hear a lot of young, 20 years old. This is a young man here. I mean, you don't hear a lot of 20-year-old kids that are that into the symphonic stuff, into the progressive, the stuff that the Camel, the stuff that we probably love. He's into that stuff, but he has a much broader interest also. Is that what you're saying?
Right. The fact that he listens to all that different stuff, he gets inspired. That incorporates into his own style.
That's awesome.
And so he could sit down and do, he's capable of doing, speed metal with the best.
Right.
But I wouldn't let him really go that route on this album because it's not that kind of an album.
Of course.
But you can hear, every once in a while, you hear a little glimpse of that and you go, wow, this guy can really play. But we did focus mainly on melody and emotions, and it was, it's just incredible. It's unique, and it's not the kind of thing you normally hear. There's a lot of restraint involved. Let me say that.
Right.
with a lot of his leads, and it's so tasteful. And like I said, when you're on an album that starts off with Andy Latimer, you got to be good. Really.
Right.
And he is. So.
Now, you know, when they actually recorded the album, obviously Justin played a lot of the guitar parts. Andy, what exactly? I know you sing, and you have a very good voice, by the way. That kind of fits the music perfectly. What else? Just let the listeners know that you handled on the album, because I know you handled a lot of the playing.
Well, I did all the keyboard parts.
Okay.
And they're pretty extensive, but it's mainly, most of the songs are kind of piano based.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a fan of Kayak's more progressive stuff, I think you'd probably like it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Mellotron throughout the whole album.
Yeah.
And I also focused really heavily on harpsichord as well.
Yeah.
Because, and I had to kind of get over that in my mind, because I'd always sort of thought of a harpsichord as a novelty instrument.
Right.
Something that you could use once in a while.
Right.
On this album, I think the harpsichord's on just about every track.
Right.
And it gives the album kind of a medieval type of a feel, because I really like it when bands like Focus used to use it.
Yeah, sure.
And but I also do, in addition to keyboards, I also do the bass parts.
Yep, yeah.
And some of the rhythmic, some 12-string strumming. But all the good guitar parts are done by Justin.
That's awesome. One of the other people that has kind of commented on the album is on Random Acts of Beauty is Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues. Actually gave the stamp of approval for the song Blue Rain. Talk a little bit, since we're dropping names here. We've got Andy. Talk about what Justin had to say, and I know you've had some past involvements with him. Talk a little bit about his stamp of approval for the track that he heard.
Well, he was actually. I'm a big fan of Justin Hayward's as well. In fact,
sure.
it was his music that originally inspired me,
right?
Along with Camel, to kind of go into music and even try songwriting on my own. And Justin, my son Justin, and I had recorded this song called Blue Rain.
Okay.
And after we were finished with it, we kind of looked at each other and we go, "Wow, this song really sounds like the Moody Blues."
Right.
It wasn't necessarily intentional, but
right.
It really sounded like something that Justin Hayward would have written and recorded, around the time of Seventh Sojourn or Every Good Boy Deserves Favor.
Sure.
And I just happened to be have sort of access to be able to get in contact with him. So I sent him a copy of the track and asked him would he mind singing it, He was very busy, but he listened to it and he really liked it. He loved the guitar sound on it, and I'd put a reference vocal on the track so he could learn the song just in case he decided he wanted to do it. And he said, "You know what? Your vocals on this are already fine. You don't need me."
So, wow, that's pretty good.
So, but he was really nice about it, and he sent back he really responded with a great response to the to the song, and I think he liked it. I think maybe if he had more time in his schedule, he might have considered doing it.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, I like the way it turned out.
Yeah, sure.
And the fact that someone that I've admired, like Justin Hayward, liked my own vocals was a wow.
Yeah, that's a trip, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that.
No.
You know, I mean, talking about some heavy hitters here, you know, Andy Latimer, Justin Hayward, we're talking about some icons, basically, you know. It's funny, the Moody Blues are they're an interesting band because they get forgotten about sometimes, you know, when you talk about progressive rock, you know. And some of this, they did some brilliant stuff, you know.
Well, they were pioneers, you know.
Yeah, totally, with the Mellotron, I mean, total pioneers.
In fact, if you go back and you look at some of the... an early interview with King Crimson's Robert Fripp.
Yeah.
He admits, he goes, you know, what inspired you to do Court of the Crimson King? And he said, well, we were listening to On the Threshold of a Dream at the time.
Yeah.
So it was the Moody Blues, and it was Mike Pinder's Mellotron.
Right.
He's the pioneer for that instrument. And, yeah, their songs were maybe more song-oriented.
Right.
But they still put their albums in kind of this progressive format with the poetry. And
oh yeah, they
recurring themes and the interesting instruments.
And then they kind of get overlooked sometimes, like in the history of for whatever reason. But they really shouldn't because they did some great stuff. And then when they became more modern, and you know, say you know, obviously things change or whatever. But then they wind up getting Pat Mraz in the band, who's you need a great keyboardist. All right, about Pat Mraz, it doesn't get much better than that, you know. So
and he did some great stuff.
Some great stuff. So they're a band that definitely shouldn't be forgotten about either. But anyway, the Random Acts of Beauty, the track listing is Masquerade, Chambermaid, Storming the Castle, Blue Rain. We just talked about Blue Rain a little bit. Frozen in Time, Summer's End, and Dark Waters. This is a horrible question, but I'll ask you anyway. It's probably like picking, I don't know, how many kids do you have?
I got three.
All right, so this is a horrible question. It's like saying who your favorite child is, basically. But is there any track on the album that's kind of when you listen to it, just said, man, I really, really love that particular song. I know it's really hard to do, but...
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. You probably love them all for different reasons, too. But,
well, I wouldn't have put it on the album if I did.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
I really wanted every second on this album to be magical and have purpose, you know.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one,
gun to the head.
There's a track on there called Summer's End that has this unbelievably emotional guitar solo from Justin on it.
Right.
It goes sort of through the whole song, and everything just seemed to click with that particular song. Even though I've heard it a zillion times, I can't really listen to that song without it affecting me.
Wow.
It's really giving me the chills.
Wow.
It just seems to work. And the melody on that is just, I don't know, that one just, there's sometimes things just happen that you really don't have control over, and that one just turned out special, I think.
Right. Right, that's awesome. That's a horrible question. I shouldn't have asked you that. But obviously, like you said, they wouldn't be on here if they weren't. But what I would say about the album is, my tastes go all over the place. But you know, I've always been like the symphonic prog quite a bit, and this album really kind of you know, when you listen to it, if you're fans of the Camel stuff, that type of stuff, this is, you know, very well done. Modern symphonic prog, which you don't hear that much of these days. Sometimes it's, you know, some of the other bands are kind of getting away from it as much. But this is, you want really, really good symphonic prog, this is probably the place to go, because it does. And it's like with Camel, though. Again, I keep going back to it, but you know, Camel always, you know, the one great thing about symphonic prog, more than I think, you know, I mean, progressive rock is what it is, and it does different things to different people, but you know, playing in the odd time signatures and all the other things is wonderful, but it's the symphonic prog, I think, that brings out the emotion, you know, I think,
right,
in the listener,
right.
At least it always did for me. You know, it's more than listening to, you know, Dream Theater play, you know, ridiculous time signatures every 2 seconds. The symphonic prog has always done it for me, and that's what I think this album kind of gives off, and I'm assuming this is kind of what you were going for.
Exactly. In fact, this may sound really strange, and I haven't really said this to anybody yet, but there's a song by Genesis called For the Fifth,
Yeah, sure, there is.
There's a guitar solo in that, and there's a moment in the guitar solo where it just, you've got the bass pedal, mm-hmm. you got Steve Hackett hitting, bending up to this high note, mm-hmm. and you've got the mellotron swelling in, and that, you know the moment I'm talking
about. Yes, I do.
The guitar solo, and it just gives you the chill.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Every
time you hear it.
Yeah.
And what I tried to do was take that feeling and take that moment and incorporate and try to do an entire album of stuff like that.
Right. No, I hear you. I hear you. And it's you know, it reaches people a certain way, and it's not a lot of music that's able to do that. You know what I mean? And it's almost hard to describe that feeling that you're talking about, but I know exactly what you know. You have to hear it to know it, to really relate to it. And I could see where you went for that, because as a listener, I felt it. You know, you start to get the goosebumps up a little bit. You know, it resonates. You know, and that's what symphonic prog does. I think that a lot of other, you know, necessary progressive rock doesn't do as much. Let's put it that way. I mean, you know, Andy's solos and stuff. I mean, your hair standing up by the end, you know, in the old right. days, because it's so good. But your son, obviously, is able to duplicate that, too, with some of his playing. It's fantastic, you know.
Right, on yeah, and that's kind of what we're, I know it seems weird, but that's kind of the emotion that I was going for, and to try to do an entire album like that, that it's almost like, I wasn't trying to emulate Tony Banks or Justin Hayward or anybody like that.
Right.
You know, I have my own style. But
right.
This is a kind of an album that I think a lot of people wish Tony Banks would do.
Right.
Or they wish Justin Hayward would do.
Right.
You know, because they've done stuff like this in the past, the goosebump-inducing
yeah.
type music that just, you know, hits on all cylinders and just really makes it an emotional, wonderful experience.
Right,
and,
right.
So that's kind of what I was going for, you know, because they're not going to do it. So I thought, well, I might as well do it.
That's great. Again, the website, David, say your last name one more time, because I mispronounced.
Manassian.
Manassian. It's so easy to pronounce when you say it. Manassian. Got it. I can do Swedish names, and I can do everything, and I can't do Manassian. It's funny about when I first started doing this, you know, you don't hear how people pronounce their names most of the time until, you know, it's not like you're hearing this on classic rock radio. So you don't hear somebody say David Manassian. You don't hear somebody say, if it's a Swedish guy, how it's pronounced. So, like, someone like me has to, like, try to, like, you know, get through these things and mispronounce
yeah,
the
right.
names. But you're easy, Manassian. It's a piece of good. You should
well,
see some.
No, you've done a wonderful job.
I've done all right, but I mean, you should try doing some of the Swedish stuff. It's, you know, it's a lot harder. You know,
yeah, you're introducing the guys from Moon Safari.
Oh my God! Oh, it's a great band, by the way. Yeah, Moon Safari is awesome. Yeah, it took me a while to get used to that kind of stuff. We talked a little bit about it, Dave. You know, some of your influences, I think, but just talk a little bit to the listeners. I know the Moody Blues had a lot to do with what got you going in a lot of ways, because you mentioned that, and you mentioned that in your website. But just talk a little bit to listeners about the influences that kind of made you, you know, who you are as a musician, in 2010.
Well, I mean, I had a classical background. You know, I started classical piano when I was five.
Wow.
And so I was, when I first heard progressive rock, I was naturally sort of drawn to it.
Right.
I just was kind of interested in stuff that had, was a little bit more complex, had melody and a lush kind of sound.
Right.
I guess. And so, in addition to Moody Blues and Camel, I think there were bands. I loved, getting into a lot of the bands that were doing the music during the 70s, which would be Genesis and Yes, Renaissance,
sure.
Straubs.
Oh man, you hit on two other ones that especially the Straubs. They get forgotten too, and they're amazing.
Yeah, they're ghosts and heroin.
Oh God,
both amazing,
brilliant.
Those kind of bands. Renaissance was a really big one with me as well, and it was just it was really sad during the 80s when everything just started falling apart, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really difficult for me, because that was right at that point when I was trying to see if I could get into the music.
Right.
You know, in those days, you didn't have Pro Tools. You didn't have the internet. You know, you couldn't really do your own stuff. I mean, you had to if you're going to do it right, you had to go into a studio and pay $100 an hour to record, and it was just a very difficult time. And even if you recorded something, the record executives at that time were very closed-minded, especially in Los Angeles, to anything having to do with Prague, and it was very frustrating.
Yeah, it was a dirty word, basically, you know.
Yeah, it was, and I saw bands like Renaissance that just kind of fell apart. I mean, I still look at their discography, and to record an album as magnificent as Song for All Seasons,
oh, God,
and then two albums later to record something like Camera, Camera, which
yeah.
I personally find unlistenable.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, like, what's happening to these people? Why are they doing this?
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I understood why. They were, you know, everybody wanted, the record executives wanted everybody to use drum machines and these plastic synthesizers, and it was just a very, the '80s were just a really difficult period, and I got very discouraged about the whole music scene.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that was the time that I was trying to do it, you
sure.
know, so it didn't quite work. But now, with the internet, with Pro Tools, you know, I mean, I can have, you know, Andy can record a guitar solo in England and then send it to me over the internet, and I can sync it up with the track. You know, we don't even have to be in the same room. It's not as fun that way, but at least you can do it, and then you can get it out there.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's really amazing these days.
Yeah, the things that can be done that never could have been done in the past.
Right,
you
and
know,
that's the reason this album even exists,
yeah.
because it was doable.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, they have, you know, it's always, I mean, I've, you know, over the years, bands that I love that have come from different countries and everything, they've never been in the same room together, you know, sometimes. And like you said, it's not as fun, probably, but that you can exist. You can release an album and do these things. And these guys haven't necessarily even been in the same room together. It blows my mind
right.
because of the files that can be sent back and forth.
Right.
You know,
right.
so, you know, I guess it's a, that's just things that never could have happened, I guess, 20 years ago. You know, but so you know, you've kind of it sounds to me you've come home a little bit with this new music.
Yeah, it's the album that I probably wished I could have done back in the mid-'80s.
Mm-hmm.
No one would have, first of all, it wouldn't have ever existed,
but, right?
And if it had, I don't think anybody would have wanted it, so.
right.
But at least now, you know, I think people are open to it and want to hear this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Is there any, you mentioned Mike Pinder. I mean, I'll talk to you just as a keyboardist, I guess, for now. You mentioned Wick Wakeman's name came up, Tony Banks. I mean, are there any other influences that have really kind of influenced your playing, your music as a keyboardist?
Boy, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of people. One recent guy that I kind of have really admired is Tom Brislin.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
You know, Tom, just to give you a little background, I've just finished a new DVD with Camel.
Okay.
It's called, I think it's going to be called The Opening Farewell.
Okay.
It's going to be out here really soon.
Okay.
And it was filmed during Camel's farewell tour in 2003.
Oh, yeah, I saw him at Nearfest. Awesome.
Yeah, and what happened was the original keyboardist at that time with Camel was Guy LeBlanc.
Yep.
And a week before the tour, his wife gets sick.
Yeah,
he has to pull out of the tour.
Yeah.
And it really put Camel on the spot. What do we do? Do we cancel this tour?
Yep.
You know, we had filming set up.
We
had a whole tour set up. I think it was the guy from Nearfest that recommended that Tom Brislin,
yeah,
you know, fill in,
yeah,
and you know, Tom had, of course, played with Yes,
mm-hmm,
on their symphonic tour.
Yep.
He's I think he's currently with Renaissance right now.
Yep, he is.
This guy comes in with a week before the tour starts and learns the entire Camel set list.
Wow.
In a week. I don't know how he did it. I just don't know how he did it. And we ended up filming the very first show of the tour, and it was perfect. It was flawless. And that's what's going to be on the DVD that comes out in a few weeks.
Wow.
And
I'm buying it. I can tell you right now, I'm buying it. That's awesome.
I mean, not only did he not miss a note, but the energy between he and Andy is just amazing, and it's just I don't know how you could learn those types of complex songs in that short amount of time,
right,
and pull it off.
Right. He did it. And he's still a pretty young guy, too. You know, Brislin is an amazing, amazing player.
Yeah.
And he always winds up getting involved. Like, he was in Yes, obviously, from the Symphonic Tour. And then he landed. When I saw him land with Camel, I was like, "Wow, this is amazing!" And I saw that show at Nearfest, and that was probably my favorite. I haven't been to Nearfest in a few years, but my favorite Nearfest moment was probably Camel closing out the Sunday night. It was just so phenomenal,
right.
And everybody was so hyped up to see them, you know, in that room. And it was a great Nearfest too. Flower Kings were there. Angler Gord reunited. It was like a really cool. I think Glass Hammer was there, who I like. Really cool Nearfest. But Camel came out with Tom Brislin and with Andy, and it was just they blew the doors off the place.
Right.
Because I think there was a feeling that, you know, who knows how much we'll see these guys ever again. And then, you know, with Andy getting ill, obviously, you know, that it was even more of a feeling looking back in time. And I'm so glad I got to see them, because I'd never seen Camel before. And that was the only time I've ever seen him, and I'll always remember it. I'm sure Brislin was a big part of it.
Right, yeah. He made that whole thing kind of work. It could have been a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. <Right. laughs> And Guy LeBlanc is a great player, too. Nathan Mall, you know, is a great band. You know, he's been, but I remember all that. It kind of jogged my memory when you mentioned it, because I remember his wife getting sick. I remember all that stuff. But, I mean, it was a good, you know, 7 years ago, but geez, and they pulled it off. Amazing. Well, if that DVD is going to come out, I'm all over it. and I would recommend any of the stuff on Camel Productions that David's been involved with. The Coming of Age is brilliant. Curriculum Vitae is such a great... Camel, again, you know, I don't want to talk too much about Camel because this is about you, but it's a band that, like, you know, I'm a younger, you know, I'm getting old now, but I mean, I'm younger than a lot of the old progressive rock fans are. When I got into Camel, and I was like, how, you know, what's the deal with these guys? Like, were they big in the 70s? They weren't big in the 70s, you know? And it's like, I know they just had a lot of bad timings and bad management and label problems and all that, and you listen to them, I'm like, damn, these guys were amazing. You know, I put them right up there with any of the classic progressive rock bands of the 70s. I put them up with Yes and Genesis and the rest of them, you know? And it just, for whatever reason, they missed the train, you know what I mean? And it's so cool. Like Camel Productions and you, thank you, being involved, has been able to bring some of this stuff to DVD and things for fans like me who kind of missed the train also, I guess. And it's just so cool that Camel's getting the respect that they've always deserved a little bit more in recent years.
Yeah, well, I think with the re-interest in progressive music, which I don't think ever went away, you know, but I think it's pointed, you know, of course my son, he's discovered him, and he wasn't around during the original heyday.
Right. I'm not as young as your son, I'll tell you that, not even close, but I'm younger than a lot of the tip. I didn't live through the 70s, I was, you know, I wasn't living through that period as much, so, you know, I got stuck with the 80s too.
Yeah.
And had to discover a lot, all this stuff after the fact, you know, I kind of, and then I had to go back in time and figure all this stuff up. But Camel was one, you know, I just missed, you know, like, until I really got into this radio station, actually, and I started to hear them a little bit. I said, what's this band, man? These guys are awesome, you know?
Yeah, Andy's got a real knack of being able to write a melody that can just gets to you, you know, and is it playing, you know, the emotions on his playing is unsurpassed, really.
Yeah.
And I think that even translated onto this song that we did together, Masquerade.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, it's been an absolute honor to know him and to be able to work with him. And,
absolutely. I mean, it's amazing.
And for him to contribute to this album is a dream come true, really.
It's awesome. One last question. This is a tough one. It's a horrible question, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway. I don't know if it's as bad as picking the songs as your children. That's bad. But this is bad, too. It's the old-fashioned, which really doesn't even apply anymore, because now you have iPods, so it doesn't really work as the way it used to. If you were stuck someplace, desert island, okay, and you can only bring 3 CDs with you that you could listen to, what would you pick?
Wow.
Right?
That's a tough
one. That's a horrible question, isn't it? I've tortured a lot of people with this question.
You know, I'm going to pick Blue Jays by Justin Hayward and John Mines.
Wow, okay. Good choice.
I'm going to pick... I think I'm going to pick Wind and Wuthering by Genesis.
Okay.
And then I'm going to pick Random Acts of Beauty.
Hey, why not? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Good. I think those might be three. I don't know if they're my three favorite. Those might be three of my favorite albums, yeah.
The Wind and the Wuthering's a good choice because not many people have picked that one. And I agree. That is a great. I love that album, too. So a lot of people, you know, prefer, I think, A Trick of the Tail a little bit more. But I've always preferred that album, Hackett's last album with Genesis, too, as one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a toss up between that and Trick of the Tail.
Yeah, I know. You know, but
the fact that you got two great albums like that is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, David's been so kind with his time today. We've been talking about his new album, Random Acts of Beauty, which is going to have a street date of October, but don't wait around for October. Go to progrockrecords.com and you can order the album. Get to hear Andy Latimer playing on album again. Amazing. And sounding as great as he does on Masquerade. But then you get past that great track and you listen to the rest of the album and it has such a great feel to it. And I think the listeners, especially the symphonic prog fans, would really, 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 really like this. It was a brilliant, brilliant album, man. We're really appreciative that you're bringing this music to us, because we don't, you don't hear the symphonic as much some days. So, and to bring Andy back into the listeners' consciousness, everybody's so worried about him, you know, health wise. I think it's just so great to see him on, playing again. So, whatever you did to make that happen, it's a big deal. So I think the listeners are really, really going to dig that.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you do a station ID for us?
A station ID?
A station ID. All you have to do is say your name, and you are listening to Delicious Agony Progressive Rock Radio.
Okay.
Whenever you are ready.
All right. Here we go. This is David Manassian, and you're listening to Delicious Agony Radio, the best progressive rock radio station, not only on the net, but in the entire universe.
That's perfect. That's a good one, man. That's one of our. That was a great one. That was a great one. Well, anyway, I've been speaking to David Manassian, talking about Random Acts of Beauty. Fantastic album, Prog Rock Records. Check out the website at davidmanassian.com. Goes into much more detail even than we did in the interview because he goes track by track, which is really great for the listeners. Check out Andy. Check out his son, Justin, who's a tremendous player. And check out the new Camel DVD coming out soon, which I didn't even know. That's big news, too. So a lot of cool stuff for the fans to look forward to.
Yep, there you go.
Absolutely. David, I want to thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the great music. And I really hope this album does well for you. And just stay in touch.
I will do that.
All right, David. Thanks. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.